Herzlich willkommen zur fünften Folge des True Athlete Podcast. Heute endlich mit viel unterstützender Frauenpower, dank meines heutigen Gastes, Katie Zafaris. Viel Spaß dabei. Ein warmes Hallo an alle Triathlon-Enthusiasten da draußen. Heute wird es international, denn wie schon angekündigt, US-Girl Katie Zafaris gibt uns die Ehre. Ja, Team USA, bei den Frauen zurzeit auf jeden Fall eine Übermacht. Und natürlich denkt man jetzt in erster Linie an Gwen Jurgensen, die aktuelle Olympiasiegerin, die ja jetzt eine Schwangerschaftspause eingelegt hat. Aber eigentlich schon direkt danach muss man Katie Zafaris nennen. Und das ja auch aus sehr gutem Grund, denn schließlich rangiert Katie nach zwei Rennen in der WTS-Serie auf Platz 2 in der Weltrangliste, in der WM-Serie. Allerdings muss man sagen, im Coolness-Faktor rangiert sie ganz, ganz weit oben. Und das kann ich auf jeden Fall zu 100% objektiv beurteilen, denn schließlich habe ich ja auch ein Jahr lang mich davon überzeugen können und mit ihr zusammen trainiert. Ich kann mir kaum vorstellen, dass es hier einen Hörer gibt, der mit Katie überhaupt nichts anfangen kann. Aber für den unwahrscheinlichen Fall, dass doch, habe ich hier mal so zwei Eckdaten zusammengetragen. Also Katie hat 2013, also nicht allzu langer Zeit, die professionelle Triathlon-Bühne zum ersten Mal betreten. Allerdings damals noch unter ihrem Mädchennamen Hersey. Und hat sich sehr, sehr schnell ja, nach oben gearbeitet. 2 Jahre später schon war sie zum ersten Mal in den Top 5 der Welt und ab 2015 auch unter dem Namen Zafaris unterwegs, denn sie hat den ehemaligen Triathleten Tommy Zafaris geheiratet. Sie trainiert in der Trainingsgruppe von Joe Filial und dort ist sie auch in guten Händen und unter, ja, mit oder mit prominenter Begleitung unterwegs. Denn ebenfalls in der Gruppe sind Mario Mola, Richard Murray, Emma Jackson und viele weitere. Also beste Voraussetzungen und auf jeden Fall ein spannender Lebensweg, auf den es sich lohnt, mal mit ihr zusammen zurückzuschauen. So, perfect. So, welcome, Katie,
Hi, thanks.
to my podcast. You are my first female guest.
I'm honored. Thank
Yeah,
you.
my first international and first female guest. Yeah. And
Perfect.
yeah, that for a good reason, because actually you are second overall in the WTS rankings. With help me, you were fourth in Gold Coast, and in Abu Dhabi you were
Seventh.
seven. Yeah, I won seven, and you already had your first win in New Plymouth. Congratulations for that.
Thanks. Yeah, I was pretty stoked on it.
How is it for you? Yeah, first season after the Olympics. A lot of athletes take a break, like Gwen Jurgensen, for example, or just try some different kind of race formats. How is it for you? Are you looking for an alternative season, or do you concentrate to perform very well in the ITU circuit?
Yeah, I think for me, for my off season, I took it a bit more casual. I did a lot of stuff with family and friends, traveled a lot more, and Tommy and I, my husband and I, we built a tiny house, so our off season wasn't like heavy duty on training for the most part. I got some solid blocks in, but it kind of lacked consistency just because I was doing all of those other things, and that's kind of what I had prioritized purposely. But there were kind of two parts to why we did that. One was because of being a post-Olympic year, but another part of that is the fact that for me, one of the things I think I've struggled with is having a specific race and performing on that day for the specific race and kind of getting better throughout the season.
Okay.
So we wanted to start a bit slower for the off season and the building phase, and that way, hopefully this year, I'll just continue building throughout up to the grand final, that being the race that I really want to have my A race at, and is the main focus both mentally and physically, just to be able to perform the best possible at that race.
Ah, yes, yeah, so because I also saw you want to start in some 70.3 races. So, but these races are just like, part of a preparation.
Yeah, so I really want to start in some 70.3s, and part of that's preparation, part of that's just because I think I do well in them, and I just there's something different, but also because I think they could help with the mental focus aspect of Olympic distance racing, and if I can focus for like 4.5, 5 hours, I don't know how long it'd take me yet, but then I think I could focus for two. So
Which
that's what
races do you
kind of
start? Is
draws
it in
me
the
to.
US or?
Well, so that's the thing. I was originally planning on doing Iceland. I was really looking
Iceland.
forward. Well, I really wanted to go there, and just it kind of to me it made sense because it was going from Hamburg to like Edmonton for the WTS races. It was right in between, but when I looked at it a bit further, it really didn't make sense timing wise. So
Okay.
I'm pretty sure my 70.3 debut will actually be after the WTS season is over because I keep wanting to make sure that I can train the best I can for it. And what I've found is that I don't really know how to balance that when I don't have access to my TT bike and
Yeah,
when
it's
I'm trying to train for the WTS series, which is like my number one priority. So it's been harder than what I initially had planned before the season started, but I'm still hoping to get in one or two maybe. Once I'm done and have a couple solid weeks on a time trial bike.
also very hard to organize it because you are away from home for a huge amount of timer. It's right now you don't you had a camp with GFT crew in Australia, and we can say the rest of the GFT crew traveled home after a long time away. But you and Tommy, you still stay in Australia with Emma Jackson and Drew Box. That's right, huh?
Yep. Right now we're in Brisbane and with Emma and Drew, and we'll be here through Yokohama. So I think
So,
we
like
left
everything
February
for
9th
perfect
for.
preparations and deal with the right time zone and so on.
Yeah, and it's just so much travel back and forth from the US that it doesn't really make sense when we have a good environment and a good place to train with nice training partners. It just
So,
seemed to be nicer here.
absolutely. And you talk like that's maybe not a real big deal for you, but I think for Germans it's not so typical, being away such a long time and so often. And I really can say you and Tommy, how much days of year you are not at home, you are on a trip.
Yeah, it's probably easier to do how much we're home. So we'll be home for about 3 weeks in May,
Oh
and
yes.
then we'll head back to Europe, and we probably won't be home until after Rotterdam. So, like September, well, mainly October, I guess. October, November, December, we have the potential of being home. So basically 3 months out of the year.
So is this possible to keep up any relationships, even to family or I don't know, to friends? It must be pretty hard, right?
It is really hard, and especially like when we're in the time zone in Australia, by the time that I'm getting settled, then my parents are going to sleep. So, on the East Coast in the US. So that's always difficult. But what's really nice is, I mean, with the technology these days, like FaceTiming and texting, like I can keep in contact pretty well. But that being said, like I do look forward to going home and catching up, and that's a lot of what we do in the off season. And then another little thing that I've committed myself to this year is every place we've gone, I choose 6 postcards.
Oh,
Five of
yeah.
them get sent to other people, and one of them I write to myself from wherever I am and whatever experiences about like what happened, where I was, and my actual feelings on it. So far, I've done really well with it, and I'm excited.
I heard writing is a special one. I wrote some of your blogs, And yeah,
yeah.
you are the only athlete I know who is writing his blogs in poems, actually in rhymes.
Yeah, I really like writing in poems.
So pretty impressive. It was it like yeah, just for fun, or is it like you are a person who really need to yeah, think about all the stuff your experience and yeah, or is it just like okay, just hobby, I just had first the idea and yeah, I do it like this. And what
I always
if you
liked
just
poems.
want to write a blog, it's hard for you now.
I always liked poems, and to me, I'd always like when I would sit at the computer to write normal blogs, I would just like I'd hate it. It would take me forever. But when I write in a poem, it actually takes me way less time, and I guess it's because to me it's more fun, and then also you can only rhyme so many words, so it kind of cuts
Oh,
back
for me, it
on
would be the opposite, yeah, definitely.
how many different directions you can go. Because once I get started, it just kind of goes with the like literally goes with the flow. And then I always wonder if people actually enjoy reading them. Because for me, when I read a lot of blogs, sometimes I get bored. So I'm like, oh, maybe people who read this one will think it's fun.
Yeah, I think it was very enjoyable to read, to be
Oh,
honest. And yeah,
thanks.
something yeah. You don't have it too often. It's definitely something special.
Thank
Absolutely.
you.
But yeah, back to your life as yeah, nearly a backpacker. And back is a good pointer. I can say from my own point of view. You remember when Eva and myself we saw you at the airport with like a bag with the size of a hand luggage. So which was for me absolutely. I don't know how it was possible, because I know when I was going to training camps or even with our, I don't know, with the German Federation and we are on training camp like 2 weeks, we have like baggages like we were moving. And you came there like staying away for months and had like, yeah, you must be pretty good organized. Are you an organized person or?
Yeah, Tommy has helped me a bit with slimming down my packing from when I first started to now, and I think it's one of those things as it's been about 3 years now that we've been on the road for most of the year, and
So definitely you have some
as
routine in
you
that, yeah.
you kind of figure out like, oh, what you tend to use, or like there's some things that I bring, like I brought my TRX, like it's a something to use for core. And I haven't used
Yeah.
it once, so I'm like, when I go home, I'm not bringing it again. Like, there's no point. So it's certain things like that that you can kind of slim down on. But for the most part, like, whatever you can survive with for 2 weeks, you can pretty much survive with for like 3 months. But I do want to
That's a
burn
good
my
point, yeah.
clothes at the end of at the end of traveling with them because I get so sick of them and just feel like they're disgusting.
Well, yeah, but yeah, pretty. That was one of these, these tiny little details where I was looking, oh, okay. You can also manage it like this, huh? You don't need, like, because traveling is one for traffic, one of the most annoying things. It was for me, the bike pack and the
Yeah.
big bag and oh. But you solve this problem pretty well. And now, I think it's not fair if I say problem, but you always said you had your little problems in technical bike races. And here, when I watched you in Abu Dhabi and in Gold Coast, I could see one thing. I saw that you were creating this racing very aggressive, going in front and even in the technical races. So like racing, for me it's like you are racing completely different like last year. So with way more courage and yeah, do your bike part way more active. Is this impression true or are you working on it? So I can say, oh, for me,
Yes.
it seems like you improve, definitely.
Yeah, so I think it's a lot of, or it's a combination of a few different things. But yeah, last year I just struggled every race. Well, not every race, but most of the races technically, and putting myself in the right position and just with confidence on the bike. And the only race that I would say I did well in with that was actually Hamburg, where I just got fed up with myself basically for not being in the right position and not racing assertively on the bike. And that was the best race of my season. And I think this off season, it was one of my main focuses was to come back and just this year focus on the process goals again and be okay with like, okay, if I do this on the bike and then I have nothing on the run, like that's okay as long as I get the bike portion down, which is positioning, which is technical skills. To do that, like a lot of the times Tommy and I over the off season, we would do the group rides in our local community, which I think helped immensely because you can't predict what strangers are going to do, what the average cyclist or person who's on the group ride is going to do. And they're also strong riders. So for me, like every group ride was a pretty hard effort.
So was it like
And we would.
local riders at Santa Cruz in California where you live or to
Yep,
train? Ah, okay.
just the local ride. So every Wednesday and Sunday, we would just meet up with the group, and it ranged. It was a pretty crappy weather for in Santa Cruz for the winter. So sometimes Tommy and I made up 2/3 of the group, but other times we'd have like 20 to 30 people, so it would be good, and there'd be different attacks where or different places even where just positioning would matter. And I'd get shot off the back sometimes, but that's what you learn from. But I think that just really helped
Absolutely.
because just like the movement in the group. So it wasn't even like always being at the front. It was putting myself in different positions within that group and just trying different things and really setting myself up in a situation where it was okay to fail. But it was a good place to try things, which I think made it nice because it didn't feel like I had anything on the line. It was just what I could prove to myself that I could do. And most of the rides were awesome. There were some of them where I was like, go on without me. I'm dead. But I think it shows. And because our weather wasn't very good, a lot of them were actually in the rain. So that just
Which is
really
actually not too
transferred.
bad for the preparations. It's
Yeah,
not so
because
enjoyable,
it's.
but yeah.
Yeah, I think it made me stronger, and it just continued to make me a more confident rider because if I can ride in the rain, then I can ride in the dry. And also Tommy has helped me immensely because he's pretty good technique wise on the bike and things like that. So
Yeah, I can commit
following
that,
his yeah
yeah.
yeah following his wheel and learning from him has been good. So, but those are like more of the physical things where I think also like just having that mental aspect of this is what I'm going to do and actually going to do it and having that as my focus rather than what place I want to get or something like that. And as everybody tells you, as long as you focus on the process, the results will come. And I feel like that's happened this year because I don't, excuse me,
No problem.
because
I also have
I don't think.
my coffee here next to me, so you can grab one as well. So I just stood up
Yeah.
and
Get
grab
the
me a
sip.
coffee and
Like my 7th place finish in Abu Dhabi, I wouldn't consider it my best finish, but when I was done the race, I was so proud of myself because it was a pretty technical course that
absolutely, yeah.
I thought I raced. It was probably one of my best rides I've ever had, definitely skillfully. But
Yeah, I
so
would
it's
agree,
been cool this
absolutely,
year
yeah.
to be back, be back to me.
Yeah. And I very appreciate that you are on Strava. So
Oh yeah.
Everyone who is listening to this podcast, please follow Katie on Strava,
Yeah, follow me.
I think you could see a lot of details. For example, when I you uploaded the training on the Gold Coast race venue, and I saw that you practiced these technical or the most technical section very often. Right? So it was like you were going in circle for like 40 times or something like that. So at this point, I really could see, okay, you are actually really trying to train this thing and to improve in this thing.
Yeah, and that's been also pretty cool is for the race prep. I've only been riding the courses beforehand, and it's not something you can do at every single race, but I've been able to, even if it's just riding it easy and stopping at stoplights and things like that. I may not be able to do it at speed, but I've been working on visualization. So the more that I ride it, even if it's easy, the more I'm able to put it into my mind for how I'm going to race it. And Tommy has been really kind and coming with me for, I would say we did it. We didn't really get an opportunity to do it in Abu Dhabi, but in New Plymouth and in Gold Coast, we must have done. I think we only rode the course when we were when we were in those places. And if I wanted to practice something, and if I had the opportunity because it was closed off, then we would just continue to practice, and he'd give me some tips to try and help me. And I mean, when it comes down to it, the more prepared I feel, the more confident I'm going to be going into the race, whether it actually translates into making me better or not, I don't know, but but having that feeling that I've seen it before and not being surprised is
I
really
think it's pretty
good.
important, yeah. Absolutely. So you said, I think everyone now realized that Tommy is a very supportive person to you and in general very important. It's just because when I was kind of preparing this talk with you, I saw this article on NBC Olympics where you and Tommy described how you found your love for each other, and so I really enjoyed this article, and I don't know, right? For me, I was sometimes like surprised how open-minded you are, right? And which details you are. So my favorite part was, I don't know if I find this part, but it was like, at the second date, I thought you told I thought that Tommy farted to me. So,
Oh, yep. It wasn't even a date. It was the second time I met him. We were walking
okay,
down
so
the
it was
street.
not too worse, huh? But
Yeah, he's a
would you
catch, all
say,
right.
so if you wouldn't met Tommy, would you be at the same place you are right now, or?
Oh, that's a hard question. I don't think so. I think Tommy, well, I was in a really good place before I met Tommy in terms of in terms of sport. I mean, in triathlon, but I wouldn't have. I guess I'm a true believer in that everything happens for a reason, and I like looking at then how those next moments and next things kind of transpire from that. So like because I met Tommy, that's how I met Joel. That's how. And in my opinion, like Joel's the best coach. There's nowhere else
Obviously,
I'd
yeah.
rather be. There's no other group I'd rather be with, and I don't know if I'd have that opportunity had I not met Tommy. And then, obviously, when we first started our relationship, it wasn't really him helping me with triathlon. He was focused more on himself and on his training and his racing. And but then over the past 3 years, I guess it's kind of evolved into him taking a more supportive role and then doing a few fun races here and there whenever he wants to. But so now, like using him as a resource is still something that I'm not always great with. I feel like sometimes that him giving me critiques or trying to help me doesn't always translate well, and I
Okay.
get more frustrated and upset with him because he's my husband, than if it were a coach telling me. But that's something I'm trying to learn because, like I said, for going into New Plymouth and Gold Coast, like he really helped me with race strategies and skills and things like that, just to kind of
But I can
give
fully
me
ad admit
advice
to that.
or.
Yeah. So for me, it was
Yeah,
the
and
same.
he'll.
If my wife was telling me something, it's more, yeah, it's harder to sometimes to accept that than like a different person where you have like more like a working relationship to them. Sometimes it's
Yeah.
easier, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's a balanced thing. And like another thing is like when we go to races, that's actually the time that I would say that I tend to be the most selfish. So sometimes having like your significant other there isn't always fair because I want to be on my schedule. I want to eat when I want to eat. I want to do my training when I want to train. But you have to be like, okay, I'm doing this in like 10 minutes. I'm doing this at 1. I'm like, and say the time. And but then if you want to go early, you like, I don't know, it can be frustrating for it. So it's, and I'm like, having Tommy, I think, definitely has had an impact on me and definitely has helped me get to where I would like to be. But I also feel like it's something that's getting better the more we kind of get used to it. Like, it's not something that we've really figured out 100% yet, is like the balance between husband, wife, training partner, and like all that. But I feel like we're getting there, which is a really cool feeling to have.
But from my point of view, you manage this pretty well, I have to say.
Yeah.
So
I think so too.
let's take a look the time before you know Tommy, and maybe the time before you started triathlon. So, how did you get involved into triathlon? Because I know you were a steeplechase runner, is that right?
Yep,
In
so
college.
yeah, I started steeplechase my, oh, what was it? I think it was my senior year in college, but then I did a fifth year.
And how is it in general? Because especially the women's team in the USA is so super strong. And right now, I'm not like I don't know all about the sports system in the US. But I heard a lot that especially Barb Lindquist were looking for female who are doing like good female athletes in colleges and. Looking for them if they are talented at running and swimming, and then, yeah, scouted them for triathlon. Is it like you did both swimming and running on college, or?
No, so when I was growing up, I swimming was one of my main sports. I would say swimming and soccer were my two main sports. And then when I was a sophomore in high school, I found running, and my first year of track, I won a few state titles, which is like considered pretty good in the US. And so then I started running as well. So, and I
But
ended up quitting
you
soccer to
still were
run.
swimming as well, or just you stopped and start running?
Yeah, so in high school, I was for the my last 2 years of high school, I was swimming and running. And then when I started to look at universities, I was looking at universities that, well, I just looked at a huge variety, I would say, where I looked at universities where I could run, I looked at universities to swim there just only, and then I looked at universities where it might be possible to swim and run. Ultimately, I ended up choosing to go to Syracuse University, which is a Division I school in upstate New York, and I ended up just running there as a Division I running scholarship. And when I talked to my coaches, it was like they knew I had a swimming background, and at the time they were like, oh yeah, like you can swim if you want to, but like not competitively or anything like that. And I think I probably got in the pool like twice over the 5 years that I was there. Like
Twice
I
over
didn't.
5 years.
Like I think I went in and did 2K, I remember, but that was it. And well, I guess over the 4 years I was there, because once I did my 5th year, because I had, you can in the US you can redshirt, which means you don't compete for a year, for a season. So I had my indoor and outdoor track eligibility for my 5th year, but I didn't have the cross country for the fall. So, and that was kind of when Barb Lindquist had, she had contacted me, because that's what they're, I guess that's what she researched to do. I don't really know. I've never asked like how specifically she found me, but
It's her
she,
main job. I don't know either.
yeah, she's a secret agent for
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
triathlon. But so she must have seen me as a runner and then knew I had my background in swimming from high school, and so she contacted me. But at that time, I still had 1 more year at Syracuse. But my coaches from Syracuse University were actually, or for running, were actually really cool, and they told me, and they were supportive, that I could train for triathlon instead of the cross country,
Yeah.
because I wasn't going to be racing then. So I dabbled in a few like age group races that year, and just kind of tried it out a bit. I'd done a couple before with my dad, over the years, just nothing, ever thinking that it would amount to anything, or that it would be have anything to do with what I would do in the future. And basically, I just got super lucky with the timing of things with USA Triathlon and the collegiate recruitment program. So I went out to a camp for, I think it was like a 2-week-long camp with a bunch of other people who were in the same situation as me. I think there were like 14 of us. And they basically had like, it would look like a developmental camp to anybody who was watching, because we were learning transitions, we were learning to clip in. It was the first time I was riding in a group.
And was it like
You're
you and actual like your new athletes and the older athletes we are actually ju racing were trained together, or was it just like a camp for all the new recruits?
Yeah, that was just a camp for all the new recruits, and
Ah, yeah.
they brought in specialists to work with us. So they brought in like specific people for swimming, specific people for cycling and running, and Barb Lindquist was there to, because she's an Olympic triathlete who came to the sport a little bit later with the same kind of, as she was a swimmer in college, but so she was kind of there as like she could give swimming help and help for all of triathlon, but more as I would consider what a mentor would be, someone who'd gone through it and was kind of helping guide us. And then after that, like we usually, like typically at that point, the collegiate recruitment program, like that was it. Like you have the 2-week camp, they give you a coach, and then it's kind of like, okay, see how it goes.
And
But
which
that.
year? And which year did you do this camp?
So I think that was 2000. That had to be in 2012, or
So
yeah,
like
that was 2012, I think.
1 year before you entered the World Cups in the ITU.
Yep. And then we had this cool opportunity, because it was the first time that they were doing it, but they were bringing out, it was like 6 or 8 of us. They were bringing out athletes who wanted to, asking if we wanted to go to the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs and to live and train there and really try triathlon. And I'm from the East Coast, so it's about a 24-hour drive to Colorado Springs, and I decided to do it. But
Oh,
I'd
yeah.
also decided at that point that I was gonna apply for graduate school to continue my schooling, and just had all these different ideas
Yeah.
of things I was going to do. I hadn't committed to triathlon like 100% at that point. But I was like, this is a really good opportunity, and it was awesome to have, like, how many people can say they lived at the Olympic Training Center or like went for it? But I remember driving out with my dad, and we were probably like, oh, I don't know, we were probably like 2 hours or so away from Colorado, the training center, and I just started crying, like being like, I don't know, I don't want to do it. And my dad was like, Katie, like, give it a week. If you don't like it, like, I'll fly back out, and then we can just drive back together. But I never called him. I mean, from then on, like, the USA Triathlon Collegiate Recruitment Program has just continued to evolve. So it's moved to places that are better for the weather. It's had different coaches, and they've really done an amazing job. And I know I'm very fortunate and lucky to have had the opportunity to be brought up that way, like, with so much support and help. And just, it made the transition to triathlon, it made me be able to expedite the process by like years, probably.
Yeah, but it seems to be a pretty good system. Was it, and how is it with the financial aspect? So, do you get like kind of funding from US Triathlon, or are you have
We
you
basically,
organized yourself?
no, it's supported through the USAT program. And then also they have like their sponsors. So I was given a bike through USA Triathlon sponsors at the time. So they pretty much, I mean, there's small equipment costs, I guess, that like you do yourself, but for the most part, it was a fully funded program.
And but now this program is finished for you, and you are like now professional right on your own, or is it like, because in Germany we still have like fundings it's not like true professionals earning his own money from prize money. We have more like an Ironman or long distance racing, and for the short distance races we have more funding programs from the German Federation. Is it the same in the US
So,
Triathlon, or?
yeah, so once you can only be in the collegiate recruitment program for anywhere from a year to a year and a half, and then you move on, whether that's finding your own coach or it can also mean that maybe you decide triathlon's not your thing anymore. But it's supposed to be a short-term program, and so after that,
And afterward, you are
once
like,
you're
okay, you are professional now, and
Well,
then.
once, yeah, so I mean, when I was in the collegiate recruitment program, that was my first professional year. So it got me through, and I probably it's kind of been evolving as it goes. So over the past years since I've left, I'm not haven't fully stayed connected to like what all has changed, I guess, since I'd been there. But once you're finished, then with the collegiate recruitment program, then you find a coach on your own. Like I found Joel. For me, I had help through some of the USAT people and going through like the process to find a coach and things like that. But it's also like a part that's relatively independent, I would say. And really, once you leave that funded program, the only way to be funded again is by earning it through like the national team. So we have three different levels of national team, and based on those levels decides how much support you'll get.
And of course, you are the highest level. I
Yeah,
hope so.
luckily.
What else? What else? Katie, thank you so far. I very appreciated the talk with you.
Oh, of course.
If you have something you want to say, you are welcome to do. Otherwise, I have to say thanks a lot for the talk.
Yeah.
And regards to Tommy, and
Thank
of course, good luck for the next races.
Yeah, thank you. And tell Ava I say hi. We might be coming to the Bad Soden area after Hamburg. So we'll have to hang out.
Yeah, you are very welcome. You are very welcome. Okay,
All
cool. Hero or zero, I wish you good luck, yeah?
right, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Das war Katie Seferis. Nicht nur super talentiert, sondern auch extrem sympathisch. Ja, ich bin gespannt auf das nächste WTS-Rennen in Yokohama. Zum einen natürlich, um zu sehen, wie Katie sich dort schlägt. Vor allem aber auch auf die deutschen Athleten, auf deren Auftritt. Das erste Rennen, in dem Lasse, Justus und Laura zeigen können, was sie drauf haben. Und ich drücke Ihnen alle Daumen, dass Sie bis dahin gesund bleiben und vor allem verletzungsfrei. Und ja, wir dann auch aus deutscher Sicht viel Spaß haben, Yokohama uns anzuschauen. Allen weiteren gutes Training und wir hören uns bis zum nächsten Mal. Wir hören uns beim nächsten Mal. Ciao.